Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, I was just curious. We're sitting right here at River Inn right now,
yeah,
in the corner. And because this structure that we see here, though, that this has been here for a long time.
Yeah.
This survived the 72 flood, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
This is original. Yeah.
In fact, I can't believe it's still standing, because these are all the... Spalt or whatever. It's outside the logs. He used to have a sawmill.
Uh-huh.
You know where Torrey Engineering is?
Uh-huh.
Up there on Ulysses Road?
Uh-huh.
On the right, where Torrey is, before Don bought it in the early 70s, there was just an old sawmill there, and he had one of those old-fashioned tractors with steel wheels sitting there that had the power takeoff on it that ran a big saw.
Wow.
And he sawed up all the lumber for all these places right
there. Who would have done that?
Hans.
Wilson Hans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And Hans was a super hard worker, totally German. That's why his kids left, you know, slaves when they were 10, and they got out of Dodge and won't come back.
But Esther was such a gentle person, right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And Hans, it wasn't that he wasn't gentle. He just had that German mentality. You got up at 5 in the morning and you worked till 8 at night, you know? He built the... where Jolly is now over there, that whole river village, he built that in like 57, 58, something like that.
Okay, so that, that Hans built that in the mid-50s, and then all of that disappeared in the mudslide.
It came in through the back wall, because it was that block.
Yeah.
But it was, they used to do it hollow with just certain columns.
Uh-huh.
Were pulled all the way up, so it wasn't, and so it's just that block, and the rocks came right through it.
Right.
And out into the parking lot, and that was a post office there, where Local Color was a post office.
Yeah.
And then it was the Big Sur General Store, was a really nice store.
Okay.
And then upstairs was the living quarters for the store down below.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what it was. And
who ran the store then? Dick Hartford. Right. Okay. So how much of that building that we see now is from
pretty much all of it? But they used to have where Local Color is, and it kind of goes all the way out to the side.
Yeah.
Everett, that used to be like a covered walkway kind of area going underneath the deck there.
Yeah.
So it was really, really pleasant, you know, walking underneath the sycamore tree in a covered walkway.
Yeah.
Well, Everett, wanted square feet. When he bought that place, it was full. He filled that all in, so that's why it looked so blocky. It used to be a really nicely designed building that was really... really nice, but didn't, you know, because the post office was in there, they didn't need all that space.
Right.
And now they've got it all in that hallway that you walk through back to the bathrooms there.
Yeah.
That was kind of the lobby area for the post office.
Okay.
And the mail delivery was through the back, and you went around and then went in there. And then, but Hans had cut up a bunch of these sycamore trees.
Uh-huh.
And sycamores, they dry and they crack up bad.
Right.
And so he'd carefully cured these things for like 15 years or something, and then he milled them all up and he paneled it all with sycamore. That whole lobby was paneled with local sycamore. Beautiful, beautiful wood. But nonetheless, it still cracked up. So it was all puttied up and varnished. Lost so much. That the Big Sur General Store that was there, he used to sell like cans of Beaujolais from France that you could take backpacking. You know, it's just all sorts of really cool stuff. Not yet.
Wow.
And Dick Hartford was a really great character, really good friend of my dad's, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was one of those things where we all, every April, Buzz Brown, Dick Hartford, and Alex, who was a year older than me, we'd all hike into the backcountry and come out at the Indians, you know, every year, and it was a big tradition.
So the older guys, your parent generation, basically, And who Alex, what's his last name?
Alex Hartford.
So that's Dick's son.
But he split, you know, he graduated from Carmel High, and then there was a Vietnam War, so Dick bought him an island in British Columbia, a little island.
Wow.
And last I heard, I saw him maybe 20 years ago, he's still up there cutting trees down on his island and selling lumber, and Charlie turned into a lumberjack, but he had to go to Canada.
And the reason, of course, was to avoid the draft.
Yeah. So Dick bought him an island up there to...
So
didn't just send him over the thing with $50 in his pocket, but it was one of those things where he just was embedded in the community.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Some people are like, it's like Teresa,
right,
you know,
right,
like that. It's just like that.
Yeah.
So, and he was a really fun character. And he'd play, he always sat, it wasn't so many people back then, so right. He had a big counter and he had his little cash register. And he didn't hire people, he worked there himself.
Right,
you
right.
know? And he had his, you know, the little board with all the little pegs in it, the whatchamacallit mm-hmm. game. Mm-hmm. He played dominoes all day with his buddies. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you remember the opening hours back then?
Oh, I'm sure it was probably like 9 till 6 or 7. You know?
Oh, wow. So yeah. Pretty much all day.
Well, the campground was big business.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, right.
And
except close in the
winter. Also, the road used to go all the way through to Big Sur Campground until 72.
Oh, on the bottom side.
Yeah, you drove down here and you could come out at Don's okay. thing up there.
Okay.
And wow. once Don, they built, see, that was Hans's original thing.
Right.
And those guys owned this whole thing, did it whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
And Don never really liked that because all the traffic was going right by his thing.
Right,
so
right.
in 72, when it got all wiped out, he was all for not making it a dead end. When you go down the health center,
right.
you drive down the road ends right by the back of Jolly's there.
Yeah, right.
So, but that was just kind of back and forth. It was all one thing then.
Right,
because
right.
you could drive up there and, you know, park anywhere along the
way.
So you're talking to Betty Somerville.
That's yeah, good. And so River Inn at that time, this place.
Yeah.
When, but it doesn't really matter, but the ownership here was obviously different. It never seems to be.
You know Robbie Workin?
Yeah.
Yeah. His parents.
Oh, that's right.
Came in and started running this, I think, in the early 60s, I think, Hans and Esther got out of this.
Yeah.
And so his, what was his dad's
name? So Hans
name?
And Esther were the original.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they developed their place up on top, up there.
Yeah.
You've been up there?
Yeah, I actually never have been up there. Which is
yeah, well, that ridge,
yeah.
which is way more amazing than ours in some ways.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And our ridge, and they had a choice of wherever they wanted. They picked that to build their place on.
Right, right.
And she was like a graduate from Berkeley in plants, you know,
right.
in 1914 or something crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so she was a super green thumb.
Yeah.
Just made that thing into a Garden of Eden up there.
Right, right.
And then they sold off our thing to Jimmy Lyons,
uh-huh.
who started the jazz festival,
right.
the major person at jazz festival in 1950-51, right in there.
Uh-huh.
And they had a back road going around, so they started at the top and built our road down to here.
Right.
And then Hans split off all the sections where Paul Smith lives.
Yeah.
And you know the place they call the Trotter House there?
Mm-hmm.
My dad actually built that. We had that originally, 5 acres there.
Okay.
The piece up above came up for sale. And it was like I was like 9 years old or something, and Dad got us all together and said, there's a place up above that's really beautiful. He'd hiked up there because the road was all fallen in and closed, and the guy had bought it just to rent it out, like highway patrolman rented it and stuff. And there was you can still see an old copper line running up the hill. It used to be the crank phone. And so it didn't work, so he had to sell it. And he bought it just on spec, I think. And Walter and those guys had built the house in 51, and it was just this little redwood thing. Then Jimmy Lyons added on to it because he had all these kids, and so he added that wing going out with 3 bedrooms
right,
outside
right.
with different colored doors on it. And so Jimmy Lyons got divorced, I guess, and sold that place in the mid-50s, probably 57, 58, something like that. And then we bought it in 62. But
and at that time you lived where?
Well, we lived in the Trotter House
Trotter
here.
House. Right.
And before that, where Lincoln is down there,
yep.
up Willow Creek Road,
yep.
5 miles back,
yep.
they moved there in the 1948. They bought three mining claims there.
Right.
Had a little cabin on it, but no road.
Right.
And it was on the old mail trail, the mule trail that used to go to